The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Mark Mariarty has dropped by. Mark Mariarty, chef and host of Roasted with Mark. As if he wasn't ubiquitous enough. Season, the new book is out. You walk through one of the major retailers in town. There's big giant posters of him looking at sheep with happy, contented farmers. You're everywhere, Mark.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say I was Hollywood. I was thinking that's overselling it a little bit. But yeah, no, it's good.
The podcast is clever because you've done this thing. Not that this makes it sound like it's derivative, which it's not, but there's a clever thing like the Hot Wings podcast in the States, where you give somebody something that isn't just the interview. So there's a mechanic that you can discuss. In this instance, it's sort of food and food memories of the guests.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, I would say to disarm them, but it's also more to ease me into it because I'm not an interviewer, I'm a chef. So part of what we did was we cook a dish for the guest, and it's the first thing. They don't know it's there. When they come into the podcast studio, it's sat in front of them, and they kind of go, oh, well, now they kind of know about it now that the episodes are out. But it came off the back of Hessen Blumenthal and the Fat Duck, who was my idol growing up. Used to do a thing at his 3-star restaurant in the UK where they would ring every guest a month before.
I heard about this. Explain this. This is amazing.
So if you're booked into the Fat Duck, I don't know if they do it anymore, they would ring you and they would cold call you and you think this is just a nice chat from the restaurant manager. And what they were looking for was little insights into your life and your childhood, which would be in the questions. And then without you knowing, when you came in and sat at your table, there would be, you know those little perfume things you get in the airport that people hand out samples? They would have a little perfume card. They would ask you to smell, which would be a smell from your childhood memories, which they had got out of you on the phone call a month before. So that was the level of detail. Now, I haven't gone into that much detail, but what I do with the guests is I send an email with the usual, this is where you park, this is what you're going to do. But I also ask them for one ingredient or dish that they're into at the moment. And out of that, then I come up with a really simple kind of fancy little dish that is in front of them when they sit down. And it kind of gets me into the interview. It breaks the ice a little bit and it sets the tone that this isn't going to be Anton Savage grilling you on your political career or your...
Here, have a kipper. Let's go easy.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are the ingredients that people have? I mean, obviously, you know, don't want to get the ones that haven't yet been uploaded, but for the ones that are out, the types of ingredients that have surprised you, the types of dishes you've done, the reaction that you've got.
What surprises me are what people send you back. So I ask for like one thing. Leo Varadkar would have sent like a whole A4 page of all sorts of things he likes. We had Sophie Becker, the Olympian. Hers was really simple, just coriander, one word. Then we had Dermot Bannon, who sent me, I mean, you could write
a
book.
His favourite ingredient is coriander.
Well, an Olympian.
Oh, come on. Nobody, I mean, fine, coriander has a place in life, but nobody gets excited about
it. But it didn't surprise me. When I think of an Olympian or health and fitness, coriander is one of those ingredients that just sings of health, clean eating. All that sort of stuff.
Am I right? It's one of those like cucumber that is tasted differently by different people, isn't it? Don't some people taste coriander as soap?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things that people will absolutely love or absolutely hate. And in fact, in the restaurant, we would get lots of dietaries. One of the things that will come up a lot is, I don't like coriander. Or if you're in the States, it's a load of don't like cilantro. That's one of those ingredients. But it's been fascinating to see what people like.
One of the Roux brothers, I can't remember, was it Michel or Albert? Hated coriander. Mm. Wouldn't have it in the restaurant.
Yeah, because it is that. It's. I always say it's like domestos. For my wife, growing it's dill. Can't stand it. She says it's like toilet cleaner, that sort of flavour. But you can see it's that aniseed. If you've ever been in your youth and you've been out in nights out and you've drank shots of Sambuca and felt really bad the next morning, you probably aren't going to like dill and tarragon and fennel.
So go back. You said Leo Varadkar gave you an A4 sheet. What was on it? And go back to what you made out of the coriander. What did you get from Leo Varadkar?
Leo's was... big into Spanish food, talking about holidays, but his big thing was ice cream. So I said, you know what, let's give Leo ice cream. And the thing is, you get a former Taoiseach comes in, we all know a lot about him, but we don't know a lot about his personal life. And he spends the first 2 minutes of the podcast trying to guess the flavour of ice cream. So that kind of sets the tone. It's disarming, it's a bit of fun, and it's very, very personable.
Have you ever made ice cream with liquid nitrogen? It's my ambition in life is to make it. Have you done it?
Well, we used to, when I worked over in the greenhouse over near the studio here in Dawson Street, I used to be in the pastry section, and there was a night I ran out of ice cream for one of the desserts. So what I did was I had to really, really quickly make a base ice cream mix. Now, it would normally take an overnight to freeze or into a machine to take 3 hours. Luckily, we had liquid nitrogen for a starter. So basically what happened was I put the Kenwood up on the mix or up on the desk, in with our warm ice cream mix, And then I started whisking it and putting loads of liquid nitrogen into it. And the looks that came from the restaurant of this, basically, I would call it Harry Potter snow.
Like a witch's cauldron.
Yeah, coming down out of the kitchen. But an amazing way to make ice cream.
I believe it makes excellent ice cream because the crystals are small.
Yeah, it just freezes instantly. So there's literally no ice crystals. It's completely smooth. But I don't think that'd be a recipe you'd be making at home.
So do you enjoy the revelations about the people, or do you enjoy the revelations about the people's interest in food?
Just, it's about the people. So this is, it's called Roasted. It's a podcast that is about food, but I'm just using food as the sort of the in to get different insights than maybe you might on News Talk or on other radio stations would about career. So I'm looking to questions like, what was in your fridge this morning? And that's a way to find out, what do you do at the moment? Or it's, what did you have in your lunchbox as a kid? And then all of a sudden there's a conversation about how you grew up. Or it's, if you're having a dinner party, what were the three guests you could have at a table? That's an insight into people's sort of interests. And I found that fascinating because I'm interested in people. I think if you actually listen to people, as here's me telling an expert, you find out some really interesting things. But for me, it was always about, I know what Leo Varadkar does in his career. I know what Brian O'Driscoll has done on a rugby field. But it's for Leo, it was like, okay, you're going to the White House for your Patrick's Day. We know what happens there. How do you get there? Where do you stay? What do you eat? There was fascinating insights of like the US president can't eat the food at the banquet because if it's Biden or it's Trump or it's Obama, they can only eat food produced by a security cleared list of chefs.
No.
And if those chefs aren't producing the meal, then they will be served the meal at the banquet. And Leo said it's quite awkward because everyone starts eating, but they can't eat that food for security purposes. I was like, that's fascinating. I never knew that.
That's amazing. I'd say it's also interesting, that thing of what did you bring in your school lunchbox? Because that immediately opens the door to who was it that was making the lunch? What level of concern? What interest did you have? I mean, I remember I went to school with a lad whose lunch every day would be a half sliced pan and three packets of crisps. And he would just turn it into sandwiches. I was always fascinated by what led that to be his lunch choice.
Yep. And a lot of the time I would have asked follow-on questions. They would say, okay, I had this in my lunchbox. And you would go, okay, well, like, what were you doing in school? And then for sports people, it was like, oh, I was playing sports. And for me, the question is, did you know you were going to be a Sophie Becker or a Brian O'Driscoll at that point? And most of them say, no, and I wasn't even that good in school. And just fascinating insights into, I'm more interested in how people got to be as opposed to what they're doing now.
You also have, you mentioned some of the guests, you've Dermot Bannon. You also have Brian Dobson.
That was fascinating. And like, I'm sure you're aware, someone like Brian Dobson or people who do this regularly, they are in control of the interview up against me. So we're sat in a room for an hour and Brian was fascinating, really personable. And he's a classic case of someone that everyone knows, a person that's been in everyone's living room for over 30 years, but no one knows anything about. But if he didn't want to answer my question, he would just stop talking because he's so used to that. And I would go, I'd be like, oh God, okay, where do I go next? But he was the person I really wanted on this podcast because it was what it sort of came out of. I used to see him cycling around. He used to cycle to work and I'd go, there's someone who, like when Brian Dobson spoke on the news, it was, you listened, but I didn't know anything about the man. And that was what made the podcast so great.
That thing of starving your way out of a difficult area is very interesting. There's a line that Amy Schumer has, which is, no is a complete sentence.
Yeah.
And the guest that just gives you the nope.
Where do you go from that? I'm sure you've dealt with it.
You ask a lot of questions, yeah. Very rapid succession, and hope that it leads somewhere. Meanwhile, you have the new book out, which is Season, the Elements of Amazing Taste. Lovely hardback featuring recipes that are nice, but not the kind of thing that requires a degree in culinary arts to be able to cook.
Exactly. So off the back of Flavor, which we did last year, I found pretty much the secret for success in cooking for people at home is keep it really simple. Pretend you're cooking for, in my case, my dad, who's 70s and can't cook, and make sure you're using ingredients that people can buy in the supermarket or already have in their fridge. And yeah, a couple of little tricks in this. It's seasonal ingredients, so it's based off four chapters around different times of the year. And it's all about seasoning. So it's the seven sort of key things I always have in my store cupboard that make good food great.
What was in your lunchbox when you went to school?
Ham sandwiches, always fruit, and generally a little bit of what was made the night before because my mum was a great cook. But if I was on the podcast, I would tell an amazing story where I ended up, a friend of mine who I've been friends with since I was 4 years of age, called Andrew McGovern, who ended up being my best man, he bet me in senior infants that I couldn't eat the ham sandwiches in my lunchbox without chewing them. So I did it. As a competitive person that I am, I said, I can do that. And I ended up in the children's hospital for 3 days. And my mum still tells that story gleefully of what a stupid child I was to be so competitive at such a young age.
Mark, thank you very much. Mark Mariarty, the new book is Season, and the podcast Roasted with Mark Mariarty is available. I believe what they say is wherever you get your podcasts.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.